Good morning. Today we conclude the case of God as we pick up at verse 22 of Isaiah chapter 1. In verse 22, the Lord mentions that their silver became dross. In other words, their money became worthless or unwanted material. They watered down their wines, which spoke to fraud. Their princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everybody loves gifts and follow it after rewards. They judge not the fatherless, neither doth cause of the widow come unto them. In other words, the leaders had become corrupt and they were partnering with thieves. They were more concerned about the money they would make from bribes and gifts that they would receive than to bring justice to the fatherless and the widows who came to them. The Hebrew word for companion speaks to knit together, united. So the leaders were knitted together with thieves and no doubt murderers. What we are seeing is that when man commits spiritual adultery and strays away from God, it manifests itself in the sins that they engage in. The Lord's accusations against Jerusalem shows by contrast what God values among political and civil leaders across the globe, that they keep the peace, that they stand against murder and thieves, that they practice integrity and honesty in our justice system, that we refuse those who would want to offer us bribes and gifts to dirty up our justice system, that we defend the cause of the poor, the helpless, and the weak. God is a champion for the poor, the downtrodden, the oppressed. Psalm 140 verse 12 says, I know the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted and justice of the poor. The spiritual whoredom of Judah shows that one sin usually leads to another, and it becomes a downward spiral of one lower degrading sin to another. And let's get this straight. God has been taking notice. Let us not believe for a second that he's not seeing and not paying attention to what takes place in our countries and the world at large. But in light of all this, the sins and corruption, there was a symptom of a greater and deeper spiritual problem, and that is man's heart, mind, body, and soul has been tarnished and soiled and stained with sin. What did God say in verse 6? From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it. But there is still a balm in Gilead. There is a God who can and will pour out fresh oil and make whole again if man only repent. Micah says in Micah 7 verse 18, who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity, and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. Our God is a merciful God. Though we deserve judgment for the wages of sin is death, but he offers forgiveness, love, mercy, and grace. In verse 24 onwards, God now addresses Judah, introducing himself with his titles, showing his power and majesty. He is the Lord of hosts. Hosts, referring to the armies of the living God. His angels that does his bidding. He is the mighty one of Israel. So God's title itself should be a wake-up call to his people. He says in verse 24, I will get relief from my enemies and avenge myself on my foes. I will turn my hand against you. So we see the title of God describing himself, the Lord of hosts. And here, a commentator says that God is presenting himself as a warrior, one who has all the angels as mighty soldiers at his disposal in the battle against the wicked. This is God's battle name. And it rules signifies little good when he uses it in reference to his people. As here in this case, it is implying that God is now considering his people as his enemies. When we sin, we set ourselves up as adversaries against God in our actions when we behave like enemies of God by sinning. God wasn't waging war against them because he wanted to destroy them. Quite the opposite. God's judgment was intended to purge. God said he would purge away your dross and take away all your aloes. Dross and aloes symbolizes impurities because these were the impurities in metal. But God was going to turn up the heat and refine Judah. He wanted to restore them to their former glory of righteousness. The faithful city, Zion, shall be redeemed with justice. So God's aim was to redeem Judah with his judgment and his justice. Isn't that what God wants from all of us? A life of righteousness, life of faithfulness. He wants to redeem us. And that is why he sent his son, Jesus Christ. The judgment that you and I were to receive to produce that life of righteousness and faithfulness in us. Christ took that judgment while the Son of God hung on that cross. As the songwriter says, you and I were on his mind. What a God. What a love. Even though Judah had gone so far, brothers and sisters, there is no path that is considered too far for God. He will come and rescue, deliver and set free if you so desire. Remember that story in St. John? Jesus asks the man, do you want to be healed? Very, very important question. Where do you stand or sit? Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be redeemed? Do you want to be delivered and set free from the stains of the sin in your life? Verse 28 reminds us that those who would not repent would be utterly consumed by God. He also went ahead to mention that those who repent, then certainly they would also be blessed. But he highlights, as he comes to a close with his case, he highlights the fact that they were worshiping on the oaks and they shall be ashamed. What is the symbolism of the oak trees? And why would God or Isaiah mention them? The oaks and gardens were sites of pagan worship, which idol-loving Judah kept among themselves. God was saying that they would be ashamed that they ever went down the paths of sin. It is good to be ashamed and embarrassed over sin. There is something wrong with us when we are shameless or beyond embarrassment as it relates to sin. Something is wrong with us when we feel no remorse over sin. Certainly, when David pleaded for mercy and forgiveness in Psalm 51, he said, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. As I close for today, what is your condition? Are we, you, at the place of remorse over sin? Or as we say in Jamaica, anonotten? May I invite you to think about your condition. Think about where you have fallen from. And may we repent. May you repent and return back to the loving arms of our God, our Maker and Defender. Amen.